You're listening to the best of Drew and Mike as we're off for a few days, but the Drew and Mike store is open. And also, because it's best of, it's a good time to remind you of Realtor Scott Kunath, who says the biggest contributor to stress is the lack of communication, which is why he will call you back in a timely manner. He's happy to text as well. He'll keep you informed through every step of the buying or selling process. There's been a lot of that lately with Scott Kunath. If he doesn't know the answer, he'll get it. His word is his guarantee. Scott's the rising star at Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. If you want to see what your home is worth or you want help in finding a new one, call 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746 or email Scott at skunath, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H, at cbwm.com.
I got to tell you, there's so much BS about fireworks, my God.
And oh, people, I know it. I know people are throwing a shit fit over those fireworks.
People were cranking them till like 1 or 2 in the morning every night through July 7th or 8th. Not that I'm one of those neighbors that, these damn fireworks. It doesn't really bother me that much. The dogs bark.
Right.
It kind of bothers the dogs, but.
Well, yeah, some dogs and cats, it drives them crazy. So if you're one of those people, they have a pet like that, boy, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, pets disappear a lot during fireworks. They freak out and they go to hide somewhere. They'll run away from home and they have, you know, the places, the shelters are overloaded with lost pets.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I saw a big story on it. So I actually saw two stories about that very subject, which is, I know how sad.
Oh, that is sad. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, people start. You're right. They start setting off fireworks so early on, you know, in June, and then long after.
It's like the Dream Cruise. You know what?
Yeah.
The 4th of July is now a 3-week event. The Dream Cruise is more like a 2-month event.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, they're already. I see the folded chairs on Woodward. Who are these people? What's wrong with them?
I know.
They need something else to do. My God.
I know, especially since all the stuff that you're viewing are just all basic.
Yeah, 2008,
Yeah.
2008 Fords and...
I know, they're like 2015 Chrysler's. Wranglers and shit like that, you know?
Whatever.
Like, where do these people come from?
And then where do they come from?
I don't know. And then when the actual Dream Cruise happens, it's the same way, you know? It's like they're all... Everybody just brings them out.
I wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
There it is. There it is. About 2 minutes late, but better late than never.
I knew that would be coming. I knew the minute you guys got that one together, that would be first up. But I don't know. The whole point seems to be to drag your car out and then park it and have people just look at it. Because that's the thing. People don't... They don't drive it really necessarily up and down. What were they? Just park it. People look at it. And time goes along. But yeah, it's a... But it gets to be... obnoxious, you know, and then the night of the fireworks, I thought up north, I was really jacked for some fire. Although
there must
I
be fireworks over Torch Lake. I mean, I'm thinking there's got to be an hour's worth of fireworks over Torch Lake.
You would think so, and there was, but it was down a little city called Alden, but the towns are so small up there, and like Traverse City, they had a pretty major display going on down there. That would be the one to go to. But a lot of these towns on the north side of the lake and south side of Torch Lake, they do, but they're nothing.
Five minutes long?
Drew, they're fireworks that people downstate here will do in their backyard a week before July 4th. It's like, wow.
The finale is the big orange one?
Yeah, it's that Roman candle. It's a cherry bomb.
Couple bottle rockets.
Two cherry bombs, you know, back to back, you know.
Wow.
So really.
Cherry bombs. Those are loud as shit.
Yeah, right. Their finale is like us just getting underway downstate.
Right.
Of stuff that we bought by the side of the road. You know?
By the way, that reminds me, I remember in 7th grade, the last day of school, somebody flushed a cherry bomb down the toilet in grade school.
Always.
And, I mean, that toilet was a fucking wreck. There was water pouring out into the hallways, and it was incredible.
Yep.
And, of course, immediately, all kinds of people were being questioned. And the word amongst the students was Disgusto had gone into a new arena. Disgusto. That he had gone away. He'd perhaps gone away from writing in feces to using fireworks.
I can't believe it. Disgusto was the was fingered in the thing.
He was the prime suspect. Of course, no one ever knew who he was. He was never busted.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a diabolical guy.
Oh, man. You know, isn't that
the doctor?
I don't. It seems to me it doesn't matter where you grew up. Always in grade school or early on in high school, usually it is late grade school, usually somebody always drops a cherry bomb or an M80 in the toilet because it's the one firework that the water won't pull it out. The toilet water won't put it out.
No.
So you
I don't know why that is either. I have no idea. What is it about a cherry bomb, and why don't they make all fuses like that?
Well, that's just it. Well, it's like, you know, what you and I found out when that guy one day came over and delivered us some fireworks. And that's when we got a big lesson on those things and found out that we were holding a quarter stick of dynamite.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's like, you know what, Drew? This is a quarter stick of dynamite right here.
Where did we blow that thing off finally?
In the street? Yeah, and it blew a two-foot hole in the ground.
It was loud as shit. Yeah, and oh, my God, was that loud.
Oh, yeah.
Did you witness that, Joe? No?
It'll send dirt. Dirt will sting your face 100 feet away.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
It was everything we thought it would be
and more. And when you think about it, so when you consider that, if you drop a quarter stick of a dynamite into a cheap, shitty porcelain toilet, of course it's going to crack that fucker.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's no doubt. That was
a prayer.
It's funny. They didn't really know it was a cherry bomb. I don't think they found the cherry bomb. They just decided based on the damage that someone threw a cherry bomb down the toilet.
Right.
And those stink bombs, too. Stink bombs were big.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, did they stink.
No, I know. That's even if you were cool, it wasn't cool.
No, you're right. Apparently, there's some stink bombs now. I was watching The Shahs of Sunset, which is this goofy reality show about this Persian group of people out in L.A., and they're all rich, and they're all friends. They're like late 30s, early 40s, and they just follow their exploits. It's not the greatest show. I don't recommend it or anything. But yeah. Anyway, this one guy brought a bunch of stink bombs on a camping trip, and I mean, they had
bummer.
To pull the camper over. It stunk so bad.
Oh,
it was so incredibly fecal. And all I could think of as I'm watching this, because the people were so bummed out. I mean, it smelled like raw sewage. It was that bad. All I could think of was the fart spray we got, where we ended up calling the company to complain because it did not smell like a real fart.
I remember that.
It smelled chemical.
Yes.
And they were like, what are you kidding me? That stuff is great. And we're like, no, it's not real. It's not like a real fart. You need to go back to the lab immediately. How dare you charge people for this?
What a deal, a grown man complaining that this device does not smell like shit.
Just two grown men on the radio.
Yeah. Just absolutely, you know, just rip shit
livid.
Over the fact
no,
that,
livid. We were furious.
Yeah,
we were.
Yeah. And
we were so damn excited to get it. It was like we ordered it. We got it. It's here. Oh, my God, the fart spray. And so excited for that aerosol to send just a screaming fart into the environment. And what?
Yeah. It didn't
hold
up.
Chemical smell.
Didn't hold up.
No, not even close.
And I think it was obvious to me, too, that's not a phone call they got a lot either.
No, I don't think so. They sure didn't act like it.
No, it seemed like we may have been the only one.
By the way, that reminds me, due to some medicine recently, I had some incredible farts.
Oh, no kidding.
Unbelievable.
Oh, lucky you.
Not only, I know, I felt really powerful for about 2 days.
Yeah,
they were loud as hell. I mean, they were just a joy all around, and they stunk. Oh, did they stink?
Wow.
They were so bad, I was asked to leave the house when I had to fart. Yeah.
Really?
And I actually was sympathetic to the other party.
You understood.
I actually was going outside to fart, and they were so bad, they were even trailing me back into the house. I had to stand outside for five seconds afterwards.
Wow. was that one of those farts that warm your leg? A little bit, or
it had a really incredible
medicine-y smell.
The push, no, it was
because there are medicine farts that smell medicine-y even.
It smelled like diarrhea. I don't know how else to describe it. Diarrhea.
Man.
It was brutal, man.
Oh my! God.
It was horrible.
Oh my!
And to be able to alter the environment that dramatically with something so natural. What a feeling that is. It's like, I can upset the fuck out of this room whenever I feel like it.
Yeah, right.
It's too much power.
Yeah, I know.
It's too much power for one man to have.
Thank God it's short-lived. That's why God must have made it short-lived.
The Northwestern professor and the Oxford dude who got busted?
Yeah. Relationship.
I think the documentary will be called Boofing Across America. Something tells me those guys have been boofing up a storm. Because, I mean, they killed that guy together. There's something gay about it. It's a gay story, isn't it?
It is.
And it's guys.
Yes.
And they all want it. So, I mean, don't you think? I mean, am I crazy?
No.
Can our gay listeners please speak up? Should it be called Boofing Across America? Is that likely accurate?
Or how about Hand Jobs Across America? Like Hands Across America?
Oh,
hand
I like
jobs.
It. I like it.
They're probably, you know.
But then
it's hard to boof while you're driving.
Yeah, it's a little catchier.
Ivy League edition, too.
I think they're pulling over every 20 minutes.
Or maybe maybe one drives and the other guy sees if he can get him off, and as soon as he blows a load, they switch places. And then they see how long it takes, and they switch places.
And then they get to Wisconsin.
So, like, for the first 3 minutes, they had to stop constantly. And then they just got long periods of driving, got longer, longer, longer.
Is this a politically correct murder, by the way? They make a $1,000 donation in the name of the dead guy. The guy apologizes to his families. Is this sort of – is that political correctness in murder?
I guess. Maybe. I mean
– A donation? Really? Just killed him? I mean –
a little bit of overkill on the feeling sorry for the guy they just stabbed a million times.
Yeah,
well. Is it their way of trying to show some remorse so when they finally get caught, their lawyer can they felt bad right away about it. He made a video where he apologized. He made a donation in his name.
Leave it to Northwestern scholars to screw up a good murder.
Yeah.
By being too soft.
They did turn themselves in.
Oh, they did turn themselves in. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. They negotiated the terms.
When they got to San Francisco boofooing across America.
What were the terms? What did they want?
It's like Thelma and Louise. We just got to make it to San Francisco and go crazy for a night. No, they just agreed, like, hey, we'll turn ourselves in at this time, at this place. And it was in Oakland where they turned themselves in.
Whatever.
Weren't they college professors, though? And shouldn't they have been able to figure out some, you know?
Oxford would like you to mention that they are not. He is not a college professor.
Oh, that's right.
He just
works,
an employee.
He just works there.
Oh, that's right.
But Northwestern, yeah, he was a professor.
Well, it's going to be an intriguing story, I think. I wonder, anybody ideas why they killed the 26-year-old?
Yes. And it's a Cananan connection. Because remember there was a group of older, educated.
Oh, Lee Miglin?
Wealthy men.
Yeah, the guy in Chicago whose family's like, he's not gay! Has nothing to do with this guy, but it was just the most violent murder. He also had a mask on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like Lee Miglin knew Cunanan.
Right.
Those two got it on at some point. I mean, I hate to say that, but it sure seems like it. And the cops sure seemed to think so. Didn't you, Mark? Didn't you pick up on that?
Uh-huh.
And Lee Miglin was in a group of people who were interconnected, who had that sort of a thing going on with younger gay men.
Yeah, but the young guy did the killing in that story. The older guys are killing the young guy.
I know. I mean, I think that little cabal is still going on, though, and this time...
Why would they have killed something?
Is the Oxford guy, was he over here visiting?
Yeah, it was his first time to America. Wait till he gets back and tells that story.
I can't
believe what happened the first time I went to the States.
He's got AIDS.
I killed a guy and gave him hand jobs across America.
That is really... I mean, Northwestern professor? The 26-year-old sounded like, you know, he was okay. Nothing wrong with him.
And there's two knives, so they both... presumably we're stabbing the guy in the back.
Why, though? Why?
Unless it's some weird pact where they decide, hey, let's kill a guy together.
We need our gay people to please speak up on this, make predictions, something. Explain. And is boofing across America, is that reasonable?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. I really don't.
No. I see the logo already.
I don't know. How does that spell? B-O-O-F-O-O?
Oh, no. B-U-F-U.
B-U-F-U.
B-F-U.
Yeah, it's like FUBU.
Like FUBU.
Sorry, FUBU.
Oh, like they don't know.
I know the spelling was considered very important at one time.
Point.
Yes, it was.
A lot of people have today off, don't they?
Yeah. I was blown away that Trudy had the day off because she was saying I have Monday off. Well, now she got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. When I was working in smaller market radio, I could not believe how brutal it was. I worked Christmas 3 times. I know.
Yeah.
Never had Friday after Thanksgiving off. Never. There were never enough people to fill in.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a fuck you. You didn't make any more money. It was just big bullshit. It's like, well.
No automation.
The psychic benefit of being on the radio. Well, actually, one station did have automation, but you had to be live on the other one.
Oh.
So you're on two stations at once. It was ridiculous. Oh, my God. What a cluck.
That's a nice fart, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
That sounded tight.
How did I miss that fart?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't hear any of it.
Just think of a fart really tart.
Like
a duck being choked, though. It was really tight.
Drew, how'd you miss, like, Brandon leaning horizontal to the left?
He did.
did it twice, too.
Yeah, he does have a lean to him, but I wasn't looking at him.
Hey,
and
did you have
I
to
was
work
talking.
Today? I did have to work today.
Oh, that's where all the farts come
exactly.
From.
If I didn't have to work today,
his farts
I wouldn't
would be
have
out.
Anything left.
Oh, somebody step in a duck.
When are you going to start farting at that place? Come on.
You know what? I was thinking about it the other day when I was sitting there at my desk, and I knew I had to take a dump, but I knew a big fart was coming, too. And I thought to myself exactly what you
wanted
said.
To get the fart and the dump. You didn't want to waste the fart in a dump, right?
I thought of Mark, and it crossed my mind for a minute, like, what? You should film yourself and fart out loud. But there's hundreds of people in
so
there.
So what?
It's so quiet. And then all of a sudden.
I don't think it's a fireable offense.
No, it wouldn't be a fireable offense.
Quit
just say
farting around.
Like you're the first person that's ever farted in that office.
Say
you had part of your intestine removed, and your doctor's told you you have to get your farts out, like Brett Favre.
The Brett Favre.
Then you can fart forever.
You got to mark your territory.
I know.
This is a medical issue.
Just what it would be like. So I might try it.
Just do it. Just hold it in. Do it. Hold it all in until like the last hour of the day. So it's a really long.
How many people will hear it?
I think at least 25 people.
25?
Yeah, because our desks are pretty, our cubicles are kind of
when you
close,
do it, so. Too, make a pathetic attempt to try and cover up just after you go, excuse me. Like you try coughing over it. Because then no one will say anything because they'll think you're embarrassed. I mean, if you just openly rip, they're going to hate you because you'll be a jerk.
I could start a revolution. Before you know it, everybody's farting in there.
Did you see that story about the, I think Channel 4 did it at 4, about the Japanese bathrooms and the app they have?
Oh, you know, I saw the tease for it, but I didn't see the story.
They put a little sensor on the outside of the bathroom, and you can have an app to see, like, when the toilet's open, which, honestly, how long are you waiting for a toilet to be open? How long does a person take in there? But they explained in the story that apparently in Japanese business office, employees will go in the bathroom and just sleep for like a half an hour in the shitter.
Well, they're probably there 20 hours a day trying to make it to the top.
I slept for like 4 hours on the shitter this weekend.
Did you really? Why?
I got too drunk.
Well, that's different though.
I'll sleep in a bathroom. What was the occasion? Not my bathroom.
What was the occasion for getting so bombed?
I went to an engagement party and God, I had a great time. Met a lot of cool people.
Said no one ever.
It was
a great
lot
time.
Of fun. I got to.
Does everyone have an engagement party?
Yeah.
And they're relatively, I don't know, they're kind of.
Kind of world am I
kind of new.
I didn't, but yeah.
But
Joe didn't either. Did you?
I did. Yeah, I had an engagement party. No, this one was great. I got to meet a lot of great people. A lot of listeners of the podcast. It was really cool.
Sweet.
And a lot of people that have been listening to you for. God, forever. They had all these different stories about listening to you guys over the years, so it was really cool. And this thing ended about midnight, but then we went to the bars, and before we knew it, I don't remember. The last thing I remember, it was like 7 a.m., and I was in a garage hanging out, and I was like, dude, the sun's coming up. I gotta go to bed.
Where's Kristen?
That's another thing. I lost my wife. I had no
idea.
Have
you found her yet?
I have, but I was at a buddy's house in this garage. And once 8 o'clock rolled by, we had to go to bed. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe I stayed up till 8 o'clock. And they were like, well, dude, you were passed out in the bathroom, and you locked the door for like 4 hours. So I guess I got a second wind.
That's awesome.
I was going to say, there were no stimulants involved in this affair?
Were your legs numb from sitting in the, you know, the ring around your butt?
That's the thing. I wasn't sitting on the toilet. I was laying down in the bathroom.
Sweet.
Apparently. I don't know. They said that they had to pry the door open because I had locked myself in there.
This is a mess.
The last time I passed out in a bathroom, it was my bachelor party, and I woke up, my brother's taking a shit on the toilet in the same room.
Dan
was out of control at my bachelor party. I just remember, because it was... It was at a hotel suite, and there was a separate room for the toilet in the bathroom. And I just passed out there on the floor, and I just remember coming to Dan sitting there taking a dump. Just goes, hey, what's going on? You all right? Like, I'm in this bathroom. There's another one in this room.
I smell.
Then yeah, there was no one in there to enjoy his work.
Then the next morning, he decided to take a bubble bath.
While you're still in there?
Well, every to him was still there. People just crashed wherever in the suite and Dan's just taking a bubble bath. And then on the way home, he puked like none other out the side of my buddy's
Explorer. Nice.
And it's Sunday morning, and I just remember the look on this lady's face who's driving, you know, a little, we're in Detroit, driving a little car, probably on her way to church. My brother's just out the window, just coating the side of the car. He was out of control that night.
Another fun thing that actually went down while I was sleeping, I missed it, but I got to catch the aftermath in the morning. Was apparently a couple dudes at this house got into an argument over politics, which is always great to do at 2
a.m. Especially hammered.
2, 3, 4 a.m. when you're really drunk.
And nobody's doing that anymore these days, so it's really fresh.
And so they decided to get into it, and they decided to wrestle around, and they happened to be in the landmine area, where the small area where the dogs drop deuces.
Oh, sweet. No!
So the next morning when I woke up, I'm looking at one of my buddies, and I'm like, well, what's on your pants? And his pants are just covered with dog shit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's great. So they decided to settle the argument with a fight?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe one was disrespecting the other. By the time I woke up, those two were already gone. And then the dude that had turds on his jeans, he was just trying to break it up. But
I like this crowd Brandon's hanging out with.
Reward.
Oh, man, I have good friends, man. I'm telling you, I do.
Yep, you're definitely a young man.
Yeah, your wedding was fun. Those guys, there were a lot of these people at the wedding.
Oh yeah, a whole bunch.
Yeah, that was a good crowd.
Good guys.
And then next week I got the, I got the Vermont trip, and I'm really nervous about it. But
why?
I don't know. I because
you can't
bad
drive
feeling
through
about,
Canada.
No, we can't drive through Canada.
Is there a designated driver who will not be drinking at all
for the trip? Yeah, we actually have it. We haven't figured out who's driving, but we're going to be breaking it up. Where everybody gets like a 4-hour shift.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second.
3-hour shift.
When you're not in your shift, you're getting ready for your shift. Are you going to be sober?
On the way, yeah. Yeah, really? For the most part.
Okay.
I know.
That'd be my only fear is if the driver's drinking.
Well, just
that's going to have Michigan plates in upstate New York. I don't want to risk it.
Just make sure you're not the last shift.
We're pulling straws, really, you know.
Oh man.
You don't know who's going to get what shift.
If you get the early shift.
Everybody wants to go first. Yeah, everybody wants to start.
See, I don't know if I'd want to start, though, too, because you might burn out before you get there.
It's the ride home, the way back, that's going to be the pain in the ass. We're all, done after this bender.
Yeah, but somebody will crack one. Mm-hmm. There's always that one, Alky, who gets things started.
There's always one.
The problem, too, is when you're driving sober and the whole van is fucked up.
Yeah.
Just loud and drunk.
Stinks.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that vehicle.
Some guy's pants are covered in dog shit.
And we're a few minutes away from Artie Lang, who I thought had a really great debut on Crashing last night on HBO.
Yeah, that's going to be an excellent show.
Artie, you there?
Hey, man.
Artie, how you doing, man?
What's going on?
Congratulations on Crashing. I thought it was great.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, Jesus. I never got such good feedback for anything in my life, man. Well, except Stern, but that's kind of outlaw stuff. This is like... I don't know, mainstream showbiz. I feel good.
Yeah, we were laughing about how the last couple of times we saw you, you're playing yourself, and then I saw that in an interview that you're being typecasted.
Yeah, it's a hard character to play. This guy's a scumbag.
Well, the funny thing is, too, they can't really argue about you when you say this is something the character would say, as I saw you said in an interview.
Right. It's, political correctness has taken a lot of words from us. Certain words I thought that were still good that are not, they took them in the night from me. Like cocksucker.
Yeah.
I called Pete a cocksucker when I was improvising once, and they said, no, can't do it. And I said, why? And they said, well, you make it sound like that's a negative thing.
What?
I swear to God. I said, what, cocksucking? I said, well, I guess where I came from, it is a negative thing. He said, well, some people suck cock, and it's a positive thing. And I said, well, that is definitely a different neighborhood from where I grew up. So what if I make it sound like a nice thing? What if I make it sound like, hey, cocksucker? And they wouldn't go for that either. They said, you're being sarcastic. I said, well, Jesus, this is very difficult.
Wow. Boy, that's amazing, Artie. They'll show a guy's penis, I mean, really a long glance at this guy's dick, and you can't say cocksucker.
That's a positive thing, too.
Well, yeah, listen, I mean, obviously... The world is evolving. It is nice that, kids don't use bad words anymore. The world is going to get better. Comedy will suck. The world will get better.
Well, what's it like at the venues when you do stand-up? I mean, is there any change there? Or?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's, I mean, these kids grew up. You know, I mean, kids in their 20s mostly go to comedy clubs, sometimes early 20s. And unless they're going there specifically to see me or a guy like David Tell, they don't know what they're not prepared for what they're about to see. You know, if we say one of the words that they're taught is a bad word, or they were taught as a bad word from, like, you know, a public service announcement from Richie Sambora on MTV, or if they have, there's no context you can get them back. No, like, sometimes it could be something as crazy as, like, if you say black guy instead of African American, they go nuts. And I'm like, guys, I grew up with black. It's kind of the best word, white guy, black guy. Can we just assume? African American could be a white person. It's a misleading nomenclature.
African American to me sounds like somebody who's really wants to say the N word, and so he just sort of goes to the
point.
Formal.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm going to do something so the opposite that you know, you can never know that I'm secretly a racist. you know, it's funny. My grandfather was always a little bit off. He was always like one off on the lottery, one off on this. He's just a little bit off. And he used to say in the 80s that Bill Cosby was the biggest racist of all time, and he was one letter off. One letter off.
A rapist.
Artie, I was wondering if a lot of these lines last night, well, first of all, if you were actually disclosing things from your own life, for example, I shit my pants on coke.
Right.
On a United flight.
Yeah, that's happened.
Oh boy.
Was that in one of the
I'm sorry.
Was that in one of the books?
Well, that one, it was actually on a private jet. This guy who was a fan of mine ran a big hedge fund, and he was from Detroit. I met him in New York. He wanted to fund my website, 2006, I don't know. And I said, I'll meet with you. And I met with him in his big office overlooking Central Park. And he said, hey, I see you got a gig in Detroit. I said, yeah. He goes, you know, I'm getting a private jet up there. You want to come? I said, sure. And he didn't want to talk about the website. He wanted to just hang out with me. So I weaseled my way into a private jet.
Sweet.
And, you know, I didn't do this on purpose, but I should have. I, like, halfway to Detroit, his beautiful wife was there, and his brother, his nephew was, like, 9. I had to take a shit, and in a private jet, it was a 14-seater. Mm. Yeah, there's no avoiding it, you know. I said, you guys might want to get the parachutes.
I like that you're making them parachute out instead of you parachuting out.
Well, listen, I'm a guest.
That's right.
You know, it's like, it was very like, whoa, put it this way. It put a visible effect on the conversation.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
The other thing you said that I wondered about, because, and I don't mean to question your fitness, but you said something about you're running 10 miles a day now.
No. I said I didn't get this body running 10 miles.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm getting pizza instead.
You know, maybe the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me is, I don't want to question your fitness.
Well, I was ready to accept that you were running 10 miles a day. I was going to say, oh, I guess Artie's really...
Some people believe anything. I do a joke where I talk about, well, it's a true story, but I exaggerated a bit. I did a guy, when I was trying to get off heroin, a guy... Well, rehab would send me to a fitness trainer, and I was doing squat thrusts, and I kept going through heroin withdrawal, so I kept stopping. And this real go-getter guy kept saying, what are you doing? I go, dude, I can't stop thinking about heroin. And the kid actually said to me, this is true. He said, I guarantee you a runner's high is just as good as a heroin high. And I said to him, have you tried heroin? and he said, listen, tomorrow make me a deal, run 3 miles. And see how you feel. And I said, you make me a deal, try heroin. And I got up and I ran 3 miles. So I say that in a joke, and then I go to the audience, just pretend for the joke I could run 3 miles. It's theater. Maybe you heard a combination of those two. But, and I like lying on stage.
I thought you had a really nice line, too, when he said you were his dream. And I totally got where he was coming from. You got a great stand-up career going. You had that nice TV time and being on Howard Show for 8 years. But... You laughed when he said you were his dream because you've had some ups and downs, obviously, but you said that like I'm Jessica Lange, and I love that line.
Hey, look, that was, you know, that was all improvised.
I thought it was. Yeah. That's why I thought it was a particularly good line.
Yeah, I mean, look, Judd, he's really cool with improvisation. It was a combination of Judd being into improvisation, and Pete wrote a shitty script. No.
How well did you know Pete beforehand? Because
never met him.
Yeah, you're the exact opposite of him, so it makes it even better.
It does. It does. In this situation, it works. I did this once. I did a movie called The Bachelor with Chris O'Donnell, and I had to play his best friend since like the.
It's running like crazy, by the way, on DirecTV.
Yeah, I know. It's a good residuals, but I tell you, I was supposed to be his friend since the first grade. I looked like I put his cable in that morning. There was no chemistry at all, and it didn't work. But here it works.
Yeah, because he's getting some guidance in the comedy world, and he's too nice, and you know you're allegedly the opposite.
I don't know how a kid like that, honestly, you know, if he was truly like this guy in the show, how he survived, I do not know. You get eaten alive, but look, he did, and he's a good kid. He's talented. I'm happy to be with him.
Well, the first show was, the name of the episode was Artie Lang, and I assume that you're going to be recurring on virtually most episodes. Am I right about that?
Well, I don't think so. The name of the second episode is not Artie Lang.
So that's a one-shot deal?
No. I'm a regular on the show.
Okay,
I'll be on like six or eight of the first season if there's a second season. I think I'll be back quite a bit.
Oh, cool. Great.
Yeah, cause, they were happy with it. So I'm thrilled. It's just the greatest job.
Last time we talked to you, you were in the hospital here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, it's like collapsed on stage at the Royal Oak. Well, almost did. I did my act, thank God, and I didn't know I had pancreatitis.
Oh.
And, that didn't help the fact that I was taking 100 Vicodin a night. And I went into the hospital, and it's so funny how Detroit is so great. I did an hour, I thought everything went fine, and as I'm going off stage, a kid said, "You look like shit."
Oh, boy. Love to hear that.
I mean, look, I think it's funny. What are you going to do with the kid pay? People always say, "Do you mind that?" I go, the kid paid like $60 to see me. He can say whatever he wants.
How sober are you? I mean, it's got to be. Is that a daily struggle? It's got to be.
Oh God, yeah. Oh God, it's terrible. It's like, you know. I mean, it's a, you know. I started trying to get sober. The first time I walked into an AA meeting, I was 28. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm not never drinking again. This is that another premise. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? And then I thought AA made you stop drinking for like a day. I was wrong about that. And then I got to know these people in AA who were like, if they go through the program and they go all 12 steps, they are the nicest people. I really think people who've gone through hell and then come back are better character. I'm not anything against people who are good people. But I think, you know, like Malcolm X, to me, I would trust more than other people who were like activists back then, because he saw the hell. He was everything that was bad, and he became a lot of good things, and you have redemption. And I think when you get good after being bad, you can help people more and usually want to. And that's what AA's premise is. And the people I've met that go through all 12 steps are amazing. And I just, I haven't gotten there. I've gotten sober, but, you know, I haven't gotten through all 12 steps. It's pretty hard. It's like a dedication, but it's worth it, you know.
One thing you do have is a lot of great stories that that people who live a really straight life just don't have. And frankly, I love hearing them. And now that I think, between AA and probably working with Howard for so long, a show that's really, Howard builds, in his own words, on honesty,
right.
It seems like, I don't know if that rubbed off on you or you were just naturally that way anyway.
Well, it's funny. It's a good question. I with comedy, I always wanted to be, I never wanted to be a rated PG comic. I thought, why the hell go into comedy in the first place if you're going to just talk like everybody else? You know, I don't understand kids who get offended by a comedian. Like, there's 25-year-old men who groan at a joke I make. I stop the show sometimes. I go, I have to put the lights up. I have to see the kid who groaned. I mean, a girl maybe. But when I was 25, I tried to think of what a comedian would have to do to get me to groan or be offended. Like, he would have to be beating my mother with a salami. And even then, I go, well, let's let it go. She's a bit of a pain in the ass. You know, something I said just made you groan? Jesus. It's very sensitive. People are very sensitive. They're very effeminate. men now.
Can you give us an example, Artie, of when you had when you wanted to find out why someone groaned, what you said?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Okay. I said, Bruce Jenner has a pussy. All right? Now, listen. I know he doesn't have a vagina, and I know, like, that's taboo to call. You can't call him Caitlyn Jenner. I said, I'm not calling him Caitlyn Jenner, guys. I said, I'm not doing it. He won the decathlon. I'm 49 from Jersey. You call him that. He's Bruce fucking Jenner. And you can have Bruce Jenner. You can have Bruce Hornsby. But if someone says Caitlyn Springsteen, those are fighting words. I'm hitting you with a bat.
I know.
And the fact that I said Bruce Jenner has a pussy. They go, wow, that's not true. I go, yeah, it's a joke. I made it up. And then, you know, I mean, listen, this has been killing once you berate them. I say it's no coincidence he got into a huge car accident the day after he got that pussy. I said, look, he was playing with his pussy. I mean, I get into a car wreck a day. You're 60 years old, you get a brand new pussy, you can do whatever you want to. I said, I would ask my doctor if I could have my old cock to fuck my new pussy. And I'm such a loser. Such a loser that I guarantee you my new fucking pussy would turn down my old cock. And you talk about addiction. If he didn't turn down my old, if the pussy accepted my old cock, I where's Artie? I haven't seen him in 18 months. He's out of La Quinta Inn by the airport in the corner of a room 18. And he's just fucking himself going, oh, Amanda. Okay? See, you guys have what's called a sense of humor.
It's a joke!
Oh, man. Yeah,
exactly. So when somebody moaned that, I did that whole bit. And there were people were laughing like you, so it was fine. But people groaned. And I said, you have to turn the lights up. So the kid says, you know, well, you know, first of all, the kid went to, not Brown, Columbia. Mm. All right, and that's where they have those safe spaces
yeah.
and everything.
Oh, God, yeah, and the therapy dogs to get right, over the election.
Right, that I yeah. don't understand that either. And I said exactly what you guys said. Sir, I realize Bruce Jenner doesn't have a pussy. I realize he wasn't playing this pussy getting in the car wreck. I realize I would never, ever ask for my old cock to fuck my new pussy. I don't think my old pussy has a mouth and a brain that could turn down the cock. And I really think that I would not be in a La Quinta Inn fucking myself for 18 months. So what exactly are you worried about?
I think the rest of the club got a double bonus on it, actually,
yeah,
thanks
exactly.
to the grown. So.
What happened was I discovered a new bit where I go over the joke.
Yeah.
It's so great going over a joke with people, and they realize how retarded they sound. I'm like, you know, what was the other thing I said? I went to a Black Lives Matter rally the other day. I wanted to see if I get my wallet back. All right. And there were moans like crazy. I said, okay, guys, stop again.
Oh, God.
I did not go to a Black Lives Matter. And if someone stole my wallet, I would not immediately think it was a black person. Believe me, I'm not that bad of a racist, okay? I'm not a racist at all. Matter of fact, the last time my wallet got stolen was my sister. So again, let it go. And the safe space thing, these people are coddled. When they get in the real world on the subway, what's going to happen? Like, they call their father in Indiana and go, Dad, listen, I was on the subway. I told the gentleman I was in my safe space, and he urinated in my mouth. And I have the waspy father going, you go back and tell him you're at Davenport. Nobody urinates in the Davenport's mouth. Dad, I told him I'm a Davenport. He shit in my mouth. You come back to Indiana, you're going to work in the family gift shop.
I got to tell you, I'm worried about, I'm not evolved enough to be worried about America, but I feel kind of worried that we're trying to make everyone into a robot. Everyone should be the same, think the same, say the same things, the same things. It's ridiculous. It's complete bullshit. What is going on?
You're right. I get that angry, too. I get so mad. And then what happens is, I was talking to David Tell about this, too. Like, we're getting more, I'm having more fun offending people that I hate than making people I like laugh. I start to go nuts. I was like, well, what else offends you? Let me cover that for a fucking hour. Do you have a limp? Do you have the gout? Let me do an hour on the gout. Anything. It just gets me so fucking aggravated. And look, what if these people saw Sam Kinison do a set?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I know.
Their head would explode. I mean, again, I understand that, like, you know, there's gay people who the last word they ever heard before they were killed was faggot. And that's the, that is so sad. And I understand that that's a terrible, terrible thing. But there's context. You know, same with the N-word. You know, there's context. If you use that word to do a bit, it's not, you're not condoning it. You're just using it in a story or something. And a lot of times, it shows how awful it is. But they won't listen. If you use that word once, that's the main difference, guys, is context. In the old days, if you use the N-word and you said, look, I'm telling a story, they'll hear you out, you know.
Sure.
And let me see if it makes sense. But now, as soon as you say that, you can't ever be funny. You can never be funny. I don't care how you're using it. You're the Klan. Like, so, you know, you stop being creative. That's what happens. You stifle your creativity. You give yourself boundaries, you know.
You know, the other thing.
Sometimes it's good to be offended.
I think so. Well, there you go. Absolutely. It shows how harsh those words are.
Well, it makes people think.
Right. It makes people think. There you go. Isn't that the irony?
Yeah.
And these Ivy League schools, they don't want to think.
No, it's all sameness. There's only one way to think. People saying the guy from Under Armour that said, I think Trump will be good for business, immediately got hit with a boycott, and he came back.
This is his
true conviction, though. He says, oh, I misspoke. I really believe in immigration and diversity and inclusiveness, and I don't think it'll be so good for business. I misspoke.
They should teach kids how to apologize because that's what they need the most, you know. Especially if you go into the show business, because I'm not good at it. I mean, I'm not a good enough actor to be phony. I can only be me. If I tried to be something else, I would look ridiculous. Thank God there's guys like you who are preaching that, which is great. And thank God, you know, you guys are a podcast people listen to, and I try to do that with mine, but there's pushback now because there's comics selling out 16,000 seat theaters, and all they talk about is brunch. You know?
Oh, Christ!
Oh boy! Who are the big comics out there right now that are selling out the big
well,
theaters?
Aziz Ansari is one, and I know Aziz a little bit through the Comedy Cellar, and he's a good enough guy, but
different,
you know,
style.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's very tame in what he talks about, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld was too, but I don't get it. It's not my type of thing. Amy's a friend. Amy Schumer was opening for me at Dave Attell 2 years ago. And then, you know, the great Judd Apatow took her and said they gave her an opportunity. And Amy is someone who's got great work. She wrote the movie and did great. So I could see why people see her more than some of the guys, because she's a little more harsh and has great punchlines. Good punchline.
Have you felt since she's had this mainstream success that she's maybe changed what she talks about in her stand-up a little bit?
Well, to tell you the truth, when she was opening for me while she was doing her act, I was usually getting blown by a midget. No, I'm kidding.
What? I'm offended.
No.
Who's midget?
You know, a little person. You know what I'm telling you? That's my other favorite thing. I go, you know, midgets are allowed to complain nowadays. In the 80s, we didn't listen to midgets. You had to bend over. What, Al? What can't you reach today, Al? You know, I saw a little person. This is true. I saw a little person on TV. He said, calling a little person a midget is the same thing as calling a black man the N-word. I went out one day and I tried both things. let me save you some time. There's a huge difference. one will get you smacked in the shin, and the other one will get locked in the trunk of an Impala. So the lesson: never call a black man the N-word unless, of course, they're a midget. Then you can do whatever you want. But my favorite about midgets, I said that's the best politically correct change, because midgets are now little people, which means midget porn is now little people porn. And that is, you cannot have a frown on your face when you say little people porn. You sound like the good witch of the fucking West. Would you like some little people porn?
Somebody's
more offensive.
Somebody's got to be out there pushing the line, though. So, I mean, yeah. You could have all these straight comics who, you know, who play clean or whatever. Now, I'm surprised to hear that the subject of the show, Crashing on HBO, plays relatively clean. I don't know. I just didn't think the other people would be mixed up in something like that. But it's a TV show. It's Judd Apatow.
Well, you know, it's that's what I'm there for, is to be sort of the anti that, you know. And I tell them some stories about, you know, about coming up in the business. It's very well done. Judd dances around that and makes it sort of attractive to all the people. But, and you know, I do my stand up in it, and he lets very edgy shit, like I just said.
Sure.
I think I did that midget bit in the show because we do stand up in front of extras a couple of times.
But is playing clean, is that popular now? Is that like the thing? Is to yeah, playing clean is the way to go now in stand-up.
Well, I'll tell you why it's popular, because you know, people are afraid they're going to offend somebody, and they're afraid it's going to get up on Twitter, or they're going to get kicked out of show business.
In stand-up?
I mean, you know, it's terrible. Stand-up. Yeah, well, listen,
wow.
When I started out, it was just in the early 90s, when you say you were playing Cincinnati at the Funny Bone or something, you know, you at the end of the night, it was just you and those 300 people in that room. That's all. You could say whatever you want, get off stage, get a check. If they were rowdy, you could deal with them. Now it's everyone in the world is in that room, because it just takes one guy
with a phone
to record your act who's offended. And well, I'll give you an example. You know, I do like I go for 10 subjects, but the guy Eric Garner, who's a heavyset black guy who got strangled
choked
by the cop. Yeah. Now look, he said I can't breathe supposedly, and that was a big thing. That was like the slogan. And again, I don't. I'm not happy anybody died, but I thought of a joke about I can't breathe, and I try to be fearless. I'm like, let me try it. So at the Comedy Center one night, I said, listen, some of these slogans are really affecting my sex life. I was having sex with a black chick and she yelled out, I can't breathe. And I said, can we leave politics out of this? She said, no, fat ass, you're on my rib, I can't breathe. So it turns into a fat joke on me.
Yeah,
I'm
that's not,
fun of
it's
me.
Not a joke about the incident.
Right, no, you're not
right.
Making
so
fun of the guy.
But as soon as I say I can't breathe, context again. They get mad, a woman in the crowd, instead of coming up to me personally and having a discussion about it, tweets out this disgusting ogre man, Artie, well, she was right about all that, except the race. And she, you know, and so a whole Twitter thing happened, and I lost. Chris Hardwick used to be a friend of mine. Total boycott from him because he bent like a fucking sheep blanket.
Really?
I was supposed to be on his show at midnight, a live version of it.
Yeah.
That night, 2 hours before the car got me, I got a call from my agent. You're not on. They canceled you because of that joke.
Oh,
wow.
Whose show are we talking about?
Chris Hardwick from Nerdist.
Midnight. Again, I don't know.
Wow.
He tries to pull himself up as a nerd because it makes him money, but I knew him when he hosted that show Singled Out. I said,
Chris,
a lot of nerds haven't fucked Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
You know what kills me about this is, and it's like the radio show. Even, you know, we were on WRIF for 20 years and another station, the same building for a couple years, and
right.
We're doing the podcast for about a year.
You're a pro. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, just having done it that long, I can't tell you how many times you hear, you know, that one thing that happens on the show that day, and
right.
Somebody says, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I'll never listen again. And you're like, wait, you listened for 20 years. You liked everything. And then you heard one thing you didn't like, and you'll never listen again. Isn't that a little ridiculous?
And, yeah.
And it's never
right.
True.
No, it's usually off.
That's the other part, too. With that. That's what I found with radio, because, you know, I got lucky with the Stern Show. I got into comedy. My probation officer, when I was 19, told me to get an activity, so I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I couldn't play a tape when I left there. But I went to the Stern Show, like, right from comedy, so that was the top of the food chain. And I was hiding behind Howard's coattail saying whatever I wanted. All he was worried about was the legal stuff, like if he could get sued. Everything else was on board. Then the Janet Jackson thing happened. Mm. And then I saw his pain. I was telling jokes that I loved, and my friends would usually call me and say, I like that joke, weren't, and it's because they didn't hear it. It got bleeped out. And as a comic, I was so mad at that, and that was the beginning right there. I think that Janet Jackson thing, it started to sway. And again, it's just, it's frustrating, but 49 years old, I got a good gig. Somehow I got this mainstream gig. I don't know how that happened. And I'm working. I'm still relevant on a level. I can make money, but a lot of guys aren't. It sucks.
Well, I think the point is you're funny, and then funny work. Funny will always win, just like,
well,
you know, truth will always win.
Thank you. I mean, listen, I think there's a lot to that, but some people don't get a chance to be funny.
Yeah.
As soon as they hear some, it really aggravates me. It's frustrating. But look, if they want that kind of world, fine. I'm getting out. I got some blood work back, and I'm not going to be around.
What's your relationship with Howard like now? I know it's...
Well, there isn't one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the guy gave me the greatest gig ever. He was so sweet to me, and he was a hero of mine. And we were friends on and off air. We were very close. And the stories I'm hearing about how he's treating certain people off the air is not the guy I knew. I knew a very generous guy and a great guy who, you know, was the only guy, guys, you know, we're talking about all this political correctness. He was the one guy who could have said, fuck you, I'm not changing. I'm saying this, I'm saying that still because I said it forever. I'm saying true to the audience that made me a billionaire because that's what they want to hear. And I'm not talking about stuff like putting chicks on the sippy, and he's older now with older daughters. He doesn't have to do that. I'm talking about just the rebellious comedy, like keep it going, the edge. And instead, you know, I think some, in my opinion, this broad that runs the show, Marcy Turk, is a con artist. I mean, I don't. She and what a con! She probably went back to the other grifters and said, "Look what I got! I got an office bigger than Baba Booey."
Is it because they have so many mainstream people on there? I mean, Sally Field did a 2-hour interview with Howard, and I love Howard. Yeah. I listen to him every day, so I'm not complaining about the show, but could he have had Sally Field on there in 2000? Hell no.
Well, you know why? Because I was there. Who's going to let Sally Field in front of me? Or Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow took our $200 energy drink, and I'm back there like the homeless Grimace going, show us your tits!
Well, we still hear you on 101, Artie.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's like I'm still on a... It's weird doing stand-up. They'll hear a show from, like, 11 years ago, 101, and I'll do stand-up in, you know, Detroit, whatever, and they'll yell that bit out, and they do that. I'm like, guys, that was 11 years ago. I didn't hear it. You know how many drugs I've done? I have no idea what you're talking about. And they know the show back and forth, like, the back of their hand.
Sure.
So I say, you do Sal's emotional voice. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I just heard the one where the guy, and you probably won't remember this, but it was just played, so I heard the whole thing, and I started to hear it twice, too, and it's pretty damn funny. That 18-year-old that fell in love with Houston, the porn star.
Oh, yeah.
That was very funny. And you had some fabulous lines in that thing. I was really dying. It was great.
Oh, thanks. Well, it was just so much fun. You know, it's like we went to terrestrial radio. I mean, from terrestrial to satellite. And Howard's thing was, let's try not to curse, like to see if we could. And I said, all right, but I secretly said, I'm not. The first line I had, you talk about liberating as a comic. George Takei was there. And he was our announcer. George and I had a friendship that was really cool. Everything George said sounded like a creepy gay thing. Like he just had that voice. Like Howard would say, Artie has pancakes there, George. Can you see him? Does he have a lot of syrup? He goes, oh, it's dripping. And so the first thing Robin said, as on first day on satellite, Robin goes, oh, George, you look so young. And Howard agreed, and I said, I guess all that jizz on his face kept him young. and, you know, the floodgates opened. That was 4.5 years of a blast for me. And now, God forbid you say something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. How many lines that you wrote went through Howard's mouth, say, in the average show?
I never wrote. I was terrible at it. That inadvertently helped my career because when I got there and was in the rotation to try to get the job, there were all these real funny guys trying to get the job, and it was... You know, to a lot of comics, the Mecca, for plugs alone. Everybody wanted the gig, so it was real competitive. And when Howard had a guest, got to do what Jackie did, try to write for him. And I just was not good at it. I was not. Benji is great at it, so is Freddie. Jackie was amazing. I couldn't write in Howard's voice. They were jokes I would have told. And this is where Howard's brilliant. He said, listen, I thought I was going to get the job. He said, Gary and I want to talk to you after the show. And I said, oh, God, they hate the jokes I'm writing. I'm going to get fired. Instead, it helped my career. It's one of those things where I failed and I got a reward for it. They said, look, the jokes aren't working. I can't. They're not my voice. They're your voice. I said, sorry. And he said, so what we're going to do is forget writing. We'll just keep your mic on all the time.
Wow.
He goes, don't write it. When you think of something, say it. And that was it. That right there. I said, Jesus Christ, there's a house down the shore.
Yeah. That's fantastic. You know, as much as I listen to that show now, and I'm always fascinated because I know how a radio show works, Howard seems to, I'm fascinated by his relationship with Gary. He seems to, I can't tell if he hates Gary, is jealous of Gary's success in his smaller world, or what it is, but there's just a horrible resentment of Gary, and I don't know, he sounds like he does a good job to me.
Right. Gary produced the single greatest, in my opinion, not just radio, entertainment program for the last 30 years. He produced it under constant fire. Gary's great at what he does. Robin is a genius broadcaster, and Fred is just a flat-out comedic genius. Benji's great. Jackie was great. Howard had a great team around him, and Howard could get ratings by himself on top of that team. I jumped on a train when it was already, like, number one. I used to say, God, the first ratings book, it was so much pressure. What if he's number four for the first time in 20 years? Like, let's look around the room, guys. What's different? But that's such a good point. I used to say this to Gary when I got close to him. I said, Gary, people like Howard don't respect sycophants. It makes them hate you more. Like, they don't respect the fact that you're just up his ass. You gotta, you know, I think he knows you're a good producer. A big problem is he started out as an intern, and Howard always had that opinion of him. The first impression is big with Howard. He said, he's Boy Garrity, intern. He never got over that. I saw him as a great producer. But, Gary, you kiss his ass too much, and I never wanted to be that. I said, you know, fuck it. I was a self-made millionaire from comedy by the time I sat in that chair. I don't have to rat on people. I don't have to say someone has jelly on their shirt or Scott the Engineer threw up in the back. I don't have to rat on people. I can be funny no matter what, and that was a big thing with me. And eventually it led into fights, like this fight we had where he brought in a fat fetish chick, and I told him, I said, well, tomorrow I'm going to bring in a chick who has a pelican fetish. And, you know, it was over after that. But you're right. I don't think he likes Gary. I think he has contempt. I think he has contempt for a lot of people because nobody wanted to be his friend. Yeah, when he was making $96 a week in Detroit, nobody wanted to hang out with him except one person, and he kicked her out for a blow.
Well, I do hear Gary fighting back sometimes. I mean, there was this long. Maybe you were there because I think it was on 101. Howard was. Maybe this was more current. Howard was ragging Gary because he built a theater in his new house.
Right.
And in the back of the theater, he has a couple bar stools and sort of an area for food and stuff
right.
instead of a couch. And this
right.
went on for about a half an hour about how stupid it was.
I was there, yeah.
Oh, you were? Yeah. I mean, but... really. I assume the guy's happy about his theater and he loves it, and yet it just turned into this whole dump on. I don't know. It kind of.
Yeah.
It's funny
like
to listen to.
Is, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Stuff like that is you know, again, it was my job to goof on him. Like when Gary threw out that first pitch and he hit it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, Gary's youngest son said to me, please don't make fun of my father. And I said, I would never do that. And then when I roasted him, I said, well, you're learning something about life, Lucas. I'm a liar. I wouldn't be doing my job. Howard hired me to goof on stuff like that, and it was so terrible. And, you know, I said, listen, today you found out you have two mommies. And I had a blast. It was one of the best ones. So, yeah, when stuff like that comes up, it was, what am I, if I'm staying quiet, I'm making 900 grand a year to stay quiet. Come on.
Artie, I got to ask you, because we're in the podcast world too, and we don't charge a monthly fee. We have advertisers, we
right.
take some donations,
right.
and we're doing okay. It's a little tight, but we're actually. I mean, we seem to be managing, and if it keeps growing, it actually could be something really good. You charge $6.95 a month.
Right.
And I'm curious, did you start out charging people right away? Because I just wondered, how much of your audience did you lose by charging?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what my audience would have been. But here's the thing. It's kind of like the best of both worlds. The amount of people that I have listening or paying.
Right.
Is a pathetic, awful amount. It's like if you guys heard that with advertisers or like Corolla or Marin, they go, oh my God, I feel sorry for you. Are you homeless? You know. But I was on the biggest radio show of all time for 10 years. I got lucky and that happened. So I had a following. So I tried, I said, listen, maybe people will actually pay a quarter a day for this. So I set it at $6.95. I have, and this is with a lot of people stealing it, but after it settled down, right now, I have 9,400 people, okay, listen, who pay. Now, that is minuscule. It's nothing, but do the math.
Yeah.
70 grand a month.
Yep.
And I my overhead is 200 grand a year people I pay. So it's, I think, like 980 grand right now, minus 200. So right this past year, I made 708,000.
Wow.
Laying on my couch. That's only because... That's only because I had a following. Enough people knew me from Stern, and they thought I was funny enough. I heard like 30,000 people steal it. So if I ever got that amount of people, I'd get in a robe like Hugh Hefner and never leave the house. You know, but 9,700, whatever it is, and it grows, are paying, which is laughable to you guys because advertising. But for me, it's 800 G's a year.
Yeah, no, I've always been pressed with, you know, that's the only way to go. And I always said, God, it kills me to do anything that would make the audience smaller. It runs against everything in my DNA. So we're doing about, I think, 110,000 downloads a week.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Sure.
It's good. But at the same time, I looked at that 695. I thought, boy, that would be so much easier.
Well, it sounds like you, you know, been on the. I'm not going to talk about anything, but it sounds like you've been a popular guy in that area for a long time, and maybe you have people who are willing to pay. The thing is, it doesn't matter a quarter a day. It's the idea of paying. You know, people don't. I want to pay for an extra thing. And I say, look, you can either feed a fake kid in Costa Rica, you're getting ripped off there, or you can feed me. I mean, I'm really getting the money and I'm really eating. You can hear me on the show. I'm actually eating. You can't hear the kid in Costa Rica. He doesn't exist.
Oh,
so,
boy.
You know, listen, it's a weird, weird irony where you go, look, if I do something to make the audience smaller, my paycheck might get bigger.
Well, it's very intriguing, and it's Artie Quitter, by the way. Just Google Artie Quitter, and you'll get on there. And I was going to subscribe today to listen to the show. Or actually, no, I was going to take the 7-day free trial, but then I saw I have to put my credit card in, and then I have to cancel. And I knew I would forget to credit. I would knew I
that's
would cancel.
That's the genius of it, Drew.
Yeah, I know. I would never remember to cancel
much.
My credit card.
But that's the genius. You know what, though? My bottom line has gone down. A lot of people found out how to steal it. And they let it lapse, and they steal it. Like Zuma, I make this. I'm like, guys, and then they brag about it. I'm like, guys, Jesus. I mean,
for $7 a month, I mean, that seems like a lot of trouble.
Well, here's my thing. I say, guys, listen. If you don't like me, you're not a fan of me. It would be retarded to pay a penny. Why would you pay anything? If you are like some people who go, look, you get me through bad parts of the day. I enjoy it. It's a quarter a day. I mean, you know,
right.
To have something like that in your life. I get why you don't want to pay for it if you don't like me. But if you do, this is an offer. If you don't want to do it, fine. Thank God I got stand up. And now, well, with this show now, it really did well last night. And I, you know, I'll keep doing the podcast on some level. But, you know, I'm kind of back a little bit. It feels good.
How many shows a week, Artie?
I do 4 shows a week. Well, three. No, wow. 3. We started out before I got with the crashing thing, shooting and everything. It's 3 now.
Okay.
I got to ask.
They're rambling. I do like 2 hours, you know.
Yeah. Sounds like us.
I got to ask you about your Donald Trump background, because I know he came into the show when you were with Howard, and I know you roasted him before. And
yeah.
I was surprised to read that you actually golfed with him and Eli Manning, which sounds utterly insanely ridiculous.
I did. It was fantastic. Trump is like an 8th grader. Like, we were goofing on Eli being a mouth breather. like stuffing them in a locker. I never golfed before. I mean, I golfed 4 times before. All 4 times, this is true, before that outing, when I golfed, and this is with business people who work for sales at the radio station, I was shirtless, drunk, and throwing the ball by the 4th. And, you know, it's the one place you can't say the N-word. Nobody bugs you. Trump was giving me shit about being a bad golfer, and I said, listen, you fucking wuss. I wasn't inheriting money when I was 16 years old. I was busy sheetrocking a bathroom. Fuck off. And he's the kind of guy you could say that to. Like, he's the kind he busts balls. He would bust balls back on me, and I would say, you know, he's the kind of guy who would say something like, I smell dick. Did you burp? You know? maybe Eli farted. Stuff like that. Like, and Eli has that brother, Cooper. Eli, this is another thing that gets moaned. Eli and Peyton Manning have a brother, Cooper Manning. He's a bad quarterback and he sells insurance. I go, that must be a tough Thanksgiving. Like, the father gets drunk and goes, can you pass the gravy, Cooper? Can you pass anything? Hey, Cooper, can you get a divorce and get married again so all my kids have 2 rings? That gets a moan. And I go, guys.
Oh, God,
you big Cooper Manning fans, guess what? He's going to be fine.
Wow.
He's going to be fine.
So, Artie, I get the feeling you're saying Trump is an okay guy. If you're a guy's guy and you're on the golf course, he's an okay guy as far as you're concerned.
Do you ever know a guy who you love hanging out with but you don't want to marry your sister?
Sure. Plenty.
Trump is a great guy to hang out with. The president, we'll see. but I'd give him as much chance. What makes people think Hillary Clinton's any better? I mean, they lost Arkansas. You know what that means? Anyone who was around those two hates their guts. They lost Arkansas.
Yeah.
I just know Bill Clinton had a lot of wet T-shirt contest plans. And I can't believe her ambition. I mean, you're 70 with pneumonia. The Bible says, time to reap, time to sow. Pick up your fucking grandkid and shut up for a few. Yeah, she wants to go to a job where every day she goes to an office where her husband got blown by a fat chick. Every day. And I go like, hey, guys, you ever see Monica Lewinsky? It's me in a beret. Trump's talking about grabbing pussy to Billy Bush. Bill Clinton shoved a woman under a desk and fucked her with a cigar. Trump has done nothing. He's tame compared to Bill Clinton. It's ridiculous. I just don't get it. I sum it up to these kids who I think are pussies. I'll leave you with this. Here's how I sum up the world. You know the Donald Trump Billy Bush tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of those guys apologized. Okay. The other guy didn't. One is at Kenny Bunkport working at a gift shop. The other one's president. Sometimes you can be an alpha male and be tough and go, fuck off, Entertainment Tonight. I ain't apologizing. People like that. And I want that in a president, I guess. But, there's other things that you may not want about Trump.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm giving him a chance. I'm trying to give him a chance. Artie, it's really so great to have you on. I'm so glad you were able to do this tonight. I'm serious. This will be the highlight of the week for us.
Oh, thank you.
I don't usually get out that much, but I'd like to see this damn show. You're killing me tonight.
I'm going to go just to groan at every joke, so I have to explain.
so I can hear it analyzed down, backwards and laugh again.
Well, honestly, guys, you heard the whole act here, I think. I think
yeah, we have to pay $60.
Well, on me. If you come, it's on me. Come on.
Hey, thanks, Artie. Follow Artie on Twitter at Artie Quitter and listen to the podcast via www.artiequitter.com. Artie, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. It's a good thing.
Yep. Thanks so much.
Later on.
Thanks, Artie.
Bye-bye.
God, he's great.
That was really great. That was sweet.
Cool. I was reading, too. Word out. He roasted Trump at an event, and and he comes in and says to Howard that, oh, Artie was the best there. He killed it better than anyone. He told the joke about Donald drove his daughter through Atlantic City and said, sweetie, someday your name will be on top of all these buildings if you marry someone named Borgata. Solid joke. But I guess Howard and Robin started laughing. So Trump says that, or Lang, Artie said that Trump felt trapped and then started saying that Artie's a loser. He sucks. He bombed at my rose on the air.
Oh, man.
That's funny.